In 2 Chronicles chapter 14 this morning, verse 11. 2 Chronicles 14, 11. Here we find that Asa has come to the throne at the death of his father Ahijah. And when he first became the king over Judah, the southern tribes, he began his reign by spiritual reforms. And God gave peace in the land for 10 years. He had developed an army of about 500,000 men. And then he heard that Zerah, the Ethiopian, was invading the land with 1 million men and 300 chariots. So Asa gathered together the army of Judah, and they set themselves to defend their nation from this invasion of the Ethiopians and Libyans. And then Asa did what any wise person would do under those situations when you're facing insurmountable odds and you know that you don't have enough strength or power to gain the victory yourself. Asa prayed unto the Lord his God. Whenever you're faced with insurmountable odds, it's so wise to pray. Whenever you're faced with a situation and you know you don't have enough strength, it's wise to pray. Whenever it seems like it's hopeless to go on and you can't see any way out, it's wise to pray. Asa cried unto the Lord his God. And in his prayer, he first of all acknowledged the greatness of God. O Lord, it is nothing for you to help with many or those who have no power. Now, it doesn't make any difference to God how strong I am, how weak I am. No difference to God at all. We need to remember this when we pray. We are so often putting things in categories. Oh, that's easy. Oh, that's hard. Not with God. It's nothing for God to help me. Whether I have a huge army and I outnumber the enemy, or whether they have a huge army and they outnumber me, doesn't make any difference with God. Jonathan, the son of King Saul, had this awareness. It came to him one morning when he was camped out with the army and they were facing the Philistines, who were on the opposite side of the valley. And Jonathan woke up early. Couldn't sleep. He just lay there thinking for a while. And he thought, I wonder if God is going to deliver the Philistines to the hands of Israel today. And then he was thinking, if God is going to deliver them into the hands of Israel, he really doesn't need the whole army. God could deliver the Philistines if that's his desire to wipe out the Philistines today. He doesn't need the whole army. He could do it for just one. Or two people. It doesn't make any difference to God. I wonder if God wants to deliver the Philistines to our hands today. And he was captivated by this thought, and he woke up his armor bearer and he said, hey, I've just been having the weirdest thoughts. I've been thinking, you know, if God wants to deliver the Philistines in the hands of Israel today, he doesn't need the whole army. He could do it for just the two of us. Why don't we go over to the camp of the Philistines and see if God wants to deliver them into our hands today? And so these two guys started over against the whole army of the Philistines. And Jonathan on the way said, now, hey, we want to make sure God's in this thing. So when we get close to them and the sentries discover us, if they say, hey, you guys, come up here, we'll show you a thing or two, then we'll know God is with us, we'll go up and we'll wipe them out. If they say, hey, you guys, you wait down there, we're going to come down and teach you a thing or two, then we'll know God isn't with us, and man, we'll get back to camp just as fast as we can. So when they got over near the Philistine sentries, the guys called unto them and said, hey, you fellas, come up here, we'll teach you a trick or two. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "All right, man, that's what we need. Let's go for it." And up the hill they scrabbled, hand over hand, you know, climbing up the hill to get at those Philistines. And the two of the guys jumped into the midst of the army and they began to wipe them out. God wanted to deliver the Philistines that day. And he began to deliver the Philistine army to Jonathan and his armor bearer. Because it doesn't really make any difference to God. You don't need a whole army. In fact, just you and God make a majority in any circumstance. Lord, it is nothing for you to help. Man measures things in the degree of difficulty. Oh, that's very simple. Oh, that's easy. Oh, that's hard. Oh, that's difficult. Oh, that's impossible. And man has put his graduations of difficulty on different projects. But when you take God into account, the word difficult really isn't a word that can be used to describe anything within God's framework. You see, difficulty must always be measured by the capacity of the agent doing the work. And when God is the agent that's doing the work, how can you really say, well, that's difficult or that's hard? I was talking with a highway engineer up in Washington, Vancouver, this last week. And he was sharing with me on a recent highway project there in Washington. They had to make a cut through this mountain, basalt material, much as is Mount St. Helens. And he said, using the most modern equipment that we have today and operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it took the highway engineers and department and all 5 months to move 1 million yards, cubic yards, of that material. He said when Mount St. Helens erupted, 5,350,000,000 cubic yards of basalt were moved in 27 minutes and distributed all over the northern part of the United States in very fine ash, dust, and sand. Pulverized and distributed 5,350,000,000 cubic yards in 27 minutes. When man at his best efforts took him 5 months, 24 hours a day to move just 1 million cubic yards. So the engineers looked at that project and said, oh my, this is difficult, but we can do it. We'll sit on three shifts, we'll go 24 hours a day and, you know, we'll move 1 million cubic yards. So you want to move 5,350,000,000 cubic yards? Is that going to be hard? No. Do that in just a moment. God the agent doing the work. It really becomes very simple, very easy. We need to remember this when we pray. Because you see, difficulty doesn't exist with God. It only exists in our own minds as we carry our human limitations over into our concepts of God. Because it is hard for me, I think it's hard for God. If I have a sore throat, I say, oh Lord, please heal this sore throat now. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Take it away. Thank you, Lord. And you know, it really isn't much to pray for a sore throat. If the Lord doesn't come through, I can always gargle vinegar or something and, you know, get better. But if I should come home from the doctor and take a series of blood tests and then he calls and says, Chuck, I want to come in and counsel you. And I go in and he says, we've taken some, you know, scrapings from, you know, your bones and all. And Chuck, it appears that you have leukemia. Oh, God, God, God in heaven, creator of the universe. Oh, Lord. You know, to pray for something like that, you got to really get worked up. I mean, it doesn't take simple prayers don't work now. You got to really get into it, you know, because after all, this is horrible. God can heal of cancer and leukemia just as simply as he can a sore throat. Doesn't make any difference to God. It's nothing for you, Lord, to help with many or those that have no problem. Doesn't make any difference to God at all what your circumstances may be. God can give you $1 million just as easy as he can give you $5. No harder for God to provide for you. It makes no difference with God at all. Whether you have a great army, whether you have no army. Whether you have great strength, no strength. Great reserves, no reserves. Makes no difference to God. Lord, it is nothing for you to help. My problems always seem so big to me because I'm looking at them from this earth level. I flew over the Donner Pass this week. I look down and, you know, that's not much of a hill at all when you're looking down from 33,000 feet. But I'll tell you, when you're down there and you're lugging up the hill, you know, it seems like a never ends, always going up, you know. And it seems so big when you're down at the earth level going over. But when you get up a ways, the further up you get, the less it looks. I saw the Vernal Falls there in Yosemite Park, and I was amazed at just how small those falls were. And yet I know better because I've been there, and I've hiked up the side of those falls, and I've looked over from the top, and I realize that that's quite a gigantic fall. But looking at it from 33,000 feet, it really didn't seem much at all. Did you know that if you reduce the earth to the size of a bowling ball and made a model of the earth the size of a bowling ball, that you would have difficulty finding Mount Everest? Because Mount Everest is less than the imperfections in the varnish on a bowling ball as far as the protrusion out from the earth or whatever, because you've got to actually, say, 5 miles high to 8,500 miles diameter, so you have only 1 to 1,700. So actually, you get far enough out, and the earth looks very smooth at all. You say, oh, the earth has got high mountains and all. When you get far enough out, you can't even see them. You look back, and it looks like it's so smooth and round, just like glass. Getting far enough out, the proper perspective. The big mountains seem to disappear. If I can just look at my problems from the right perspective. Thing is, I'm down here looking up. I need to get the right perspective. God, it's nothing for you up there looking down to help, whether with many or those that have no power. And so God's help is available. But then he said, help us, O Lord. Now this is actually the petition in the prayer. Help. That's what he's crying. Help. But before he cried help, he reminded himself who he was crying to. And I think that's important in prayer, that at the beginning of prayer, we just sort of remember who we are talking to. Lord, it's nothing for you. When we realize the greatness of God and the power of God. But we need to realize that when the apostles were praying in the book of Acts, they had run into some problems with the religious leaders. And so they gathered together in a prayer meeting and they said, oh Lord, thou art God. Thou hast created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. And by the mouth of your prophets spake, saying, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For they have gathered together against the Lord and his anointed. And surely, Lord, even as you said, so it is. And they've gathered together against us today and all. And they, first of all, recognize the greatness of God. You've created the whole universe. And then the fact that God has everything in control. He knows what's happening. He knows what's going to happen because you actually spoke of this a long time ago. This isn't taking you by surprise, Lord, though we were shocked today when they beat us and all this. Hey, you didn't. You weren't taken by surprise, Lord, because you actually wrote about this in advance. And realizing that God controls and God rules over the universe, then it helps me in my prayer. Help us, O Lord. I know now who the Lord is that I'm talking to. And it's important in prayer to remember and to realize who we are addressing. Help us, O Lord, for we rest in thee. Now that is so important for us to learn to rest in God. So often we pray and then worry. We get all worried and fretful after I've prayed. And then I feverishly try to do something about it. Though all of my efforts have been worthless up till now, it seems I have a hard time to stop trying. And I work so feverishly and all after I've asked God to take care of it, rather than just resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord is a very beautiful experience. And yet it will drive your friends absolutely crazy. It'll upset them. Well, how are things going? Do you still have that situation going on? Yeah, it's still going on. Well, what are you doing about it? I'm just resting in the Lord. You're what? You can't just sit back and rest in God. You've got to get out and do something. Well, what should I do? I don't know, but you got to do something. And if you really are just resting in the Lord, they'll actually get angry at you and they'll say, you just don't care. You don't really care about what's happening at all. And they accuse you of all kinds of things because you're resting in the Lord. And yet, what a beautiful place to be. Where I have ceased from my own labors and I've just entered into God's rest. Lord, it's in your hands. I know there's nothing I can do about it. I know it's beyond me. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, it's impossible. They're insurmountable odds. We just can't do it, Lord. And so we're just going to rest in you. If it's going to be done, you're going to do it. No way we can do it ourselves. And then he went on to say, now, Lord, in your name, we're going out against this enemy. Very wise thing. Lord, it's in your name. In other words, God, I'm on your side. Notice how we so often are seeking to get God on our side. We develop our whole scheme and program, and we say, now, God, please bless our program. Get on our side, God. Quick, God, on my side. And we're always trying to conscript God to get on our side rather than placing ourselves on God's side. There's one important thing about prayer that you need to know, and perhaps the most important truth concerning prayer. The purpose of prayer and the primary thrust of prayer is never to get my will done on the earth. And yet, too many times, people think of prayer as a medium or agency to get my will done. The true purpose of prayer is to get God's will done upon this earth. It is not to get God on my side. It's not to rub the little lamp and have the genie grant my request, any wish that I may have. But the real thrust and purpose of prayer is to get the will of God done upon this rebelling earth. It's getting on God's side. It's finding out what God wants. It's discovering the will of God and then making those my prayer, giving God the opportunity to act as He wants to act. I am not God. I do not know what is best. I always see things from a narrow, limited view. I can only see what is directly in front of me. I cannot see tomorrow or what tomorrow holds. And what I may look at as an advantage today, I might find out tomorrow is a curse. And what I am insisting on God doing today may tomorrow turn out to be the worst thing that ever happened to me. And that is why God is good to me and doesn't answer all of my prayers. Because I am only praying out of my limited knowledge and my limited understanding of the circumstances. And really, the purpose of prayer isn't to get my will done anyhow. If my will were being done, this world would be in a big mess today. But the purpose is to get God's will done. Oh Lord, in Thy name we're going out against this enemy. We're on Your side, God. We're going out in Your name. And then he concludes with, don't let man prevail against you. I like that. Don't let him whip you, Lord. Don't let him defeat you, Lord. We're going out in your name. You see, they can't defeat me now. I'm not going to lose. I'm on God's side. Lord, don't let him beat you. I like that. I'm so completely on God's side that there's no way they can prevail against me except they prevail against God, which I know to be impossible. So I know that the victory is assured because I'm on God's side. Don't let man prevail against you. And so Asa took his 500,000 army, went out against the chariots and the million-man force of Zerah, and he defeated him and took great spoil and brought back the victories. Why? Because he put himself on God's side and went out in the name of the Lord, resting in God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of prayer, that you're willing to listen to us, and more than that, you're willing to help. Help us, O Lord, for we rest in thee. And in thy name we go forth to do your work, to reach this corrupted society with the message of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.